Well, first of all, thank you, Ivy, for having me and wanting me to share my story. And thank you for her for doing all of this and bringing us all together. If it wasn't for her, I'm sure we wouldn't all be here. So I just want to pray first, and then we'll get into my story. Jesus, thank you for bringing all these amazing women together. Thank you for this amazing church that we all get to serve at and be a part of. God, I pray that as I tell my story and as little things come up, God, that you just open hearts and ears to what you have to speak to all of us today, even to myself. God, we just pray for healing for everyone that's sick. We pray for financial problems, for anything that everyone needs. You know all the needs of everyone that's in this room and those who are listening. And we just pray that your presence is here and that it's tangible. Amen. So, as Ivy said, I was born in Brazil, and I moved here when I was six. And 2 years, my dad was here 2 years before me and my mom got here. But 2 years after we got here, my parents did get a divorce. And after the divorce, my mom had always gone to church, but she was like not really like one foot in, one foot out kind of thing. But when we got here to America, my mom found this Brazilian church and we started going to it. But after my parents got a divorce, my dad started going to the church to try to get my mom back. And he would use me to go to church with him so I could come back and say, "Hey mom, I went to church with my dad." But God definitely had other plans for my dad, and he actually found my dad, and my dad transformed his life around in about 6 months. And that's a whole different other story. But he went from smoking every day to can't even smell the scent of a cigarette. If he drinks, he'll literally throw up. And so his life's just been completely changed. And with that, also changed my life. He became my best friend. And as he learned more of God, he taught me more of God. And I always grew up listening to stories of my dad and how he had such an amazing relationship with God. And so I wanted that. I was so young, so I didn't really know how to do that. But as my dad started becoming closer and closer to God, God would give him these visions and these words. And many, many times my dad always used to tell me that I was the start of a new generation. And at 10 years old, I had no idea what that meant. And I was like, okay, cool. That's, you know, great, but like, okay. Again, no idea what it meant. And so, fast forward, I was about 13, and I was in fifth grade, I think. Is that right? No, that's not right at all. I was in high school. Six. Okay, I was six. I don't remember the date. I don't remember the years. I remember how old I was. I remember the grade. Anyway, I was 13, and I was moving schools, and I was leaving my home school because they were closing down, and I was also moving homes because of the school closing down, and my longest friend, my best friend, she was my first friend when I got here to America. She pretty much taught me how to speak English and taught me everything. And she moved back to Brazil for about 2 years. But in the middle of all these changes, I became depressed for about 3 months. And I didn't really realize I was depressed until like after it all happened and God kind of snapped me out of it. But I, for 3 months for this, it was summertime. So for the whole summer, I like barely left my house. I would go to Sunday, like to church, and that's about it. But I became really sad and really like in need for God, but it felt like he was never there. And it felt like he was just so quiet the entire time. And obviously when God is quiet, the devil speaks louder than anything else. And so I became really sad and really like, I would just sleep all day. I would barely eat. I lost like 10 pounds for 3 months. And it was very critical, but I didn't know until I went through it. And after about a year, I was 14, and we were still, me and my dad were still at this Brazilian church. And I, after the whole depression thing that I didn't even know happened at the time, we started going to a new church, and this church was the American Church in the heart of San Francisco. And I had gotten into some drama at my Brazilian church, which is why I wanted to leave. But God made that, and he wanted us to like move seasons. He put that situation in our lives for us to move. And so we moved churches with the blessing of our pastors at the Brazilian church and everything. And we started going to this church in the heart of San Francisco. The church was a baby church. It had been, we got there in September, and it had started like 2 weeks before we had gotten there. So it was like a brand new church. Everyone was kind of figuring it out. And going to this church, there was so much to do, and I'm very much a servant person, so I did everything in the church that I could possibly do. And we went to this church, and it changed my life, and a lot of the things that I've learned at the church, I learned serving at the church. But one of the main things that changed my life at this church was that one of the first major things that happened was that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I started speaking in tongues. And for the first time ever in my life, I felt like I had my own relationship with God, and that I was finally, he was finally becoming something real to me. And my dad still was like not wanting to go to this church because the pastor wasn't Brazilian and he didn't speak English. Little did we know that our pastor was Brazilian and he did speak Portuguese. And so my dad was like, okay, now we have to go here because only God can do that. So we ended up going, and now my dad and our pastor at City Life, they're like best friends. But it's really cool how God does even the little things that you're not thinking about. And after some time being in the church, we started our youth ministry, and we eventually started going to youth conferences and camps. And at a youth camp, God met me in a crazy way. But that's when he told me that the whole thing of the 3 months I had depression, and he said that I didn't know, but I was going through that, and that he's now taking that away from me. And so even up to that point, I still kind of dealt with the effects of it, and I would still get really sad for no reason and like sleep for 20 hours straight and have no idea why that was happening. And so God completely healed me from it at this youth camp, and it's never been a struggle in my life again. And that was the camp that I was 14 then, and I gave my life completely to Jesus, and I was like, this is it, like this is where it starts. And for the next couple of months, I started to become really curious about God, and having my new learned speaking in tongues and being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I started to read passages about it and read the Bible about it and read things that would fill that hunger in my heart. And I would speak in tongues for hours and hours and hours and ask God to translate it and ask God to tell me what I was saying. And it was one of the best times of my life because I was so young and I had my dad to also explain things to me. And after that, I had a really strong relationship with God. And it wasn't because I was going, and it wasn't because I was like doing anything, it's just because I was so hungry for him that he was just filling me up more and more, and I didn't even know. And then after a couple years, I was a senior in high school, and I was in high school, and a lot of my friends in high school were not very Christian, and they didn't really care about God and any of that. And so I became like two different people. I became one person in church, and I became one person outside of church. And it was in those moments that even being two different people, I even through that like felt God speaking to me and felt God talking to me and trying to pull me back to where I was supposed to be. And today I realize that it was the times that I spent speaking in tongues and talking to him and having so much like hunger for him. And even then it paid off for the times that I wasn't so close to him, because I was already chosen, I was already loved by him, and so there was nothing that I could do to do something bad enough that he wouldn't be in love with me and want me to come back to him. And so, hold on, I lost myself. And it felt, for the most part, when I was in this season, I felt really like, again, the devil, he's very good at pushing us down when we're already down. And so I felt like I was so far away from God, and then I couldn't talk to God. But I could, and I tried my hardest to do it. But when you're in high school and there's so much peer pressure of everything, it was really hard. And plus college, and I didn't know what to do. And at the time of being a senior, I wanted to go to college to be a surgeon. And then I went to this conference here in Portland called GU Conference. It was actually the conference that we took our youth in the February that we went with the entire youth. Yeah. I think some of you guys heard about it. But we all went to that conference, and it was that conference that God told me that I was not going to go to college for the things that I wanted, and I was not going to be a surgeon, and that I was going to be a pastor. And I was like, okay, not going to happen. I'm going to go to college and be a surgeon and do whatever the heck I want to do. And he kept repeating these things. And we were here in Portland, so we were at Portland Bible College that I ended up going to. But for months after that, I kept thinking about it, and I kept thinking about it. And every time that I would apply for colleges that weren't Bible colleges and that wasn't specifically Portland Bible College, I would never get myself to press the button that said apply to these colleges because I just couldn't do it. And after a lot of fighting with God that I was very good at, he finally told me that the reason why I wasn't going to be a surgeon is because surgeons do surgery in people's hearts, but Christians do healing in Christians in people's hearts. Yes. And it's the same thing, but a little bit different. And so that was the calling that I had on my life when God told me that I was going to be a pastor. And it also made the words that my dad said about being a new generation, it made so much sense about being a new generation and starting all these things. And so I applied to this. That was before the Portland Bible College. I went to this Portland Bible College, but I was still kind of fighting with God, and I was like, I still don't want to go there. Portland's kind of weird. I don't really want to go there. I was pretty stuck in being in California. And so I decided to take a year off of after I graduated, and I decided to go, and I did an internship at my church that is in the bio. And during this internship, we did the same classes that I took at PBC, but it was a time that I stretched so much. And I lived with six other girls, and it was hard. Girls are definitely hard. And so it was a lot of stretching. It was a lot of focusing on God and serving the church even more. And the more that I served the church, the more that I was placed in these different aspects of the church, the more I felt God calling me more and more towards the church and towards being in that ministry and pastoring people. And the more it became real to me, and the more it became like so real to me that it like freaked me out a little bit. And the more that my dad, then the words that were spoken over me that I was gonna be a new generation and all of that just screamed louder in my head. And then in, I think it was February of that same year that I did my internship, we came here to Portland, and we went to the same GU conference that we took the youth. And I remember walking into the church, and I started like bawling, like I was crying the entire time. And I was like, I have no idea what's happening. And like, I talked to my pastor, and I was like, I have no idea what's happening. Like, why am I crying this much? And he was like, have you asked God about it? And I was like, no, I don't want to, because he's going to tell me it's not weird. And he was like, well, there you go. That's why you're crying. So for the rest of that trip, I just prayed and talked to God about going to Portland Bible College. And it was that word that God always told me that I'm going to be a pastor. I'm the start of a new generation. It was those words that kept me going even through everything else that happened. And it was also just the time that I spent actually seeking God, even if I didn't seek him for a long, like the entire time of my Christian life, the main parts that I did and the parts that I talked to him and that I spoke, and then those callings that I had in my life and that even I knew I had those in my life, those words were the ones that kept me going and still keep me going. Yeah. Because God's plans are crazy and I still don't know what he's doing, and I'm still here, still following him, because I know that there's something bigger. I'm the first person in my family to have gotten married a virgin and to have Jesus be the foundation of my marriage. And today I realize that that is what the first generation means, and that's what my dad has always spoken about me and said that I was going to be the start of a new generation. And Lucas and I are the start of this new generation. And so after realizing all that through internship, I finally decided to go to Portland Bible College. God finally convinced me. And I went to Portland Bible College, and again, planned to do Portland Bible College for 4 years, and met Lucas the first year I was there. And then we got married a year after. And it's just been really crazy to be here at New Song and even to be put in the position of leading the youth, because it's something that I was so used to at my home church, but now it's taken up to a whole nother level, and I just keep seeing those promises of God repeating and repeating and repeating. I didn't come here alone. There's so many people that I know that are praying for me and that are cheering me on. And I still get calls from people from my other from my church in San Francisco that are like, how's it going? And they're always pushing my buttons and asking me things and keeping me accountable for things. But all of this to say that we are all on a journey, and sometimes we have no idea what's going on. And I firsthand don't know what's going on even today. But even the times that we kind of fall away from God and try to do our own thing and take control of our own lives, he's always there. And even the times that you prayed before and talked to him before about your future, that he's still keeping us accountable for that. And we can always keep him accountable for the words that he's given us. Yeah. Because he doesn't go back on his word, and he will always stick to what he said. But we all have a plan. He has a plan for us. He has a plan for what we're going to do. And at the same time that he has a plan, the devil also knows that we're very fragile, and he tries to pull us down the more, because he also has a plan for us, and it's to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's all he does, and there's no other plans other than that. And so he'll use every strategy he can when we're at our weakest point to try to turn us away from God. And I wanted to read a page and a half from this book called Captivating that I've been reading. It's about women and like women's hearts and the secrets of women's hearts. And I really recommend it, because I've already cried like 5 times and I'm not even halfway through the book. But I'm going to give you guys some background to what I'm going to read, just because I thought it was so powerful, and it changed my view the first time I read it, and the more that I read it, it just kept changing my view of even my story and the things that I've been through. So the background of the chapter that I was in, she was talking about like the abuse of women, even in history, and even how, like, through as long as we can remember, we've been like pushed and shoved and worthless, and like we're, you know, a third of what men are, and blah blah blah. And so she was talking about that, and she was saying that there's a bigger reason why that happens. It's more, it is very spiritual, and it is the devil himself, but it is a lot more spiritual than we think. So I'm going to read the section from the book now. So Satan fell because of his beauty. Now his heart for revenge is to assault beauty. He destroys it in the natural world wherever he can. Strip mines, oil spills, fires. He wreaks destruction on the glory of God in the earth like a psychopath committed to destroying a great work of art. But most especially, he hates Eve, or woman, because she is captivating, uniquely glorious, and he cannot be. She is the incarnation of the beauty of God. More than anything else in all creation, she embodies the glory of God. She allures the world to God. He hates it with a jealousy we can only imagine. And there is more. The evil one also hates Eve because she gives life. Women give birth, not men. Women nourish life. And they also bring life into the world soulfully, relationally, spiritually, and in everything they touch. Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He brings death. He is a kingdom of death. Ritual sacrifices, genocide, the Holocaust, abortion, all those things are his idea. And thus Eve is his greatest human threat, for she brings life. She is a lifesaver and a life giver. Eve means life, or life producer. Adam named his wife Eve because she became the mother of all living things. Put those two things together, that Eve incarnates the beauty of God and she gives life to the world. Satan's bitter heart cannot bear it. He assaults her with a special hatred. History removes any doubt of this. Do you begin to see it? This explains an awful lot. It is not meant to scare you. Actually, it will shed so much light on your life story if you let it. Most of you thought the things that happened to you were somehow your fault and that you deserved it. If you only had been prettier or smarter or done more or pleased them, somehow it wouldn't have happened to you. You would have been loved, and they wouldn't have hurt you. And most of you are living with the guilt that somehow it's your fault and aren't more deeply pursued now, that you do not have an essential role in the great adventure, that you have no beauty to unveil. The message of our wounds nearly is always, this is because of you, this is what you deserve. It changes things to realize that no, it is because you are glorious that these things happened. It is because you are powerful. It is because you are a major threat to the kingdom of darkness, because you uniquely carry the glory of God to the world. You are hated because of your beauty and power. That's a good book. That's a good book. So I just want to close with that, because after that, I don't have anything else to say. Highly recommend this book. She's very good. It's her and her husband, and there's also a male version of it. It's called Wild at Heart. The male version is Wild at Heart. The woman one is Captivating. It's in the program also. But yeah, I just want to pray it out. And once again, thank you guys for letting me share my story. And I'm sorry if I was all over the place.
Are we so blessed with Laura today?
Amen.
I think we should pray over her and Lucas. I think we should do that. And then we'll move forward. But you closed and gave me a few extra minutes. So I think we should do that. I'm going to turn this off.